Well, good morning, Abacham, on Harvest Sunday. I'm sorry if I'm too close to the video, if the video is working. Last time I was told that I was a little bit quiet, I was too far from the microphone. So I hope that this time it's working a bit better. Anyway, enough of that. It's when I was booked to do today's service as the Harvest Festival, the Harvest Thanksgiving. Piers did say this will be our final Sunday because we're retired, we're moving on. And so, just a very, I think he's probably already gone, but just a hats up to Piers and Liz and a thank you, a personal thank you, as well as one from the church as well, to say thank you for all that they've done. And I think I'll stop now because I'm filling up. Anyway, but it's appropriate that I mention Piers and Liz as farmers because for harvest, I just want to tell you a little story really about a preacher, a local preacher who happened to be a farmer. And that's not unusual. A lot of farmers are preachers. And this farmer used to go out preaching round the various churches round and about. And whenever he did, he always had a jobbing farmer come in to help him to do what was to do the jobs for the day, and he went off preaching. He'd always leave a little list of things for the jobbing farmer to do, and he went off preaching, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful service because someone led the service through. They gave out the hymns and said the prayers and did the readings. The harvest, it was so they sang, they ploughed the fields. And scattered, they'd had the readings, there was the usual crowd were there. The singing was good. It's, come ye thankful people, come raise it. It went really, really well. And then the service had been led through, and they invited the farmer to come and speak. And he stood up and he thanked everybody for the invite, and he congratulated them on a beautiful harvest table. That smell of harvest, and he thanked them all profusely. He looked in the window behind, and he thanked special thumbs up to Linda Batten. He said for a wonderful harvest window. And as he was thanking them, at the same time he put his hands in his pockets to get out his sermon notes. And horror of horror, you probably guessed what's going to happen here, because he pulled out of his pocket the list that he should have left for the farmer. And he'd obviously left his sermon notes on the table, and what the jobbing farmer made of that, of his sermon, goodness knows. But horror of horrors, he realised he'd left it behind. We've all done it. We've all done it. How many have had their made a shopping list, for example? You've made your shopping list, and then you've got to the shop and you thought, where's that? Where's that shot? And when you do your shopping, you come back and there it is on the kitchen table. I've only done that once, a couple of times really, but the last time was about 3 years ago. It was a very hot Sunday morning, and I was all suited and booted, and Jackie said, "You don't need your jacket today, man. It's the sun's shining. You'll be." So I took my jacket off and went to church. But I was leading the service through at this particular church, and I realised straight away that my sermon notes were in my suit, my jacket pocket, and well, I don't think anybody noticed that I was making it up as I was going along. But that probably says more about me than about anybody. Anyway, back to our farmer friend. He looked at the list of what he'd written for his jobbing farmer, jobs to be done, and that's all he had. And he thought, well, I've got this list, I'd better preach it. I'd better preach what it. And the first item on the list was clean out the ditches, clean out the bottom field of the farm. There was a little stream down the bottom of the field there, and it got overgrown with twigs and bits and bobs and debris, and it was blocking the flow of this river, and there was a danger that it needed cleaning out. And he thought to himself, he thought, well, what's the application of all this? And he thought, well, what's blocking the flow, the communication, if you like, between me and God? Was there anything stopping that communication? And he thought immediately about his prayer life. He thought about his Bible reading. Sort it out. Clean it out. Billy Graham, God bless him, he was a wonderful man of God. And Billy Graham preached to millions of people all over the world. I think he died, was it 2 years ago? He was 99 years of age. And when he got into his 90s, he was being interviewed one day, and someone asked Billy Graham and said, "In reviewing your life, Dr. Graham, have you any regrets? Have you any, do you wish you'd done?" And he said, "You know, I wished I'd have preached less and prayed more." What a thing. He was a man who preached to millions of people, led thousands to the Lord. And he said he wished he'd have preached less and prayed more. Well, what about our line of communication? How's your communication and mine? Is there anything blocking? Is there any sin that's. And then he thought a bit further and he thought, I wonder if there's anything that's blocking my communication with others. Is there anything between me and my brother? The Bible says, if you have anything between you and your brother, leave your gift and sort it out. Get it sorted. Clean out the ditches. Well, he was thinking on his feet and he looked at the second thing and it said, fill in the gaps in the hedge. Fill in the gaps in the hedge. Where we live is the National Trust property, Tinsfield Estate. At Wraxall, Lord Wraxall had this great big house. Many of you are perhaps members of the National Trust and have been to see it. And Tinsfield House has the longest continuous holly hedge in the country. It's 9 miles in length. The whole circumference of the estate is 9 miles, and it's all holly. And of course, over the years, cars have gone off the road and gone through, and there's various gaps, there's bits missing, and every 2 or 3 years they have to replant. And well, this farm was just the same, really, that there was one or two gaps in the hedge. And the farmer thought, how can I make a sermon out of? And he thought of the rich young ruler. Jesus said to that rich young ruler, he said, there's a gap in your life. There's something missing in. You're pretty good. You're pretty good. You know, you've got 8.5 miles is pretty good. But every so often, there's. Well, he said, there's just one thing that's missing. And you, my friend, are controlled by your possessions. The rich young ruler. Jesus said, you better do something about it. What's that speaking to us about? The farmer thought. And he thought, what's missing? What's the one thing that's. I hear preachers say, like we've just said, we need to pray more. Yeah. We hear preachers say, we need to read our Bible. Yeah, we need to read our Bibles more. We hear preachers say we need to evangelize more, to witness, to tell others. Is that missing in my life? We hear some preachers say, some members' meetings say we need to give more. But we're careful how we sugarcoat that, really. But do I need to give? Do I need to attend more? What's the thing that's missing in my Christian commitment? What do I need to do to fill in the gap? The third thing on the list was tie up the bull. And his mind went completely wild. The farmer's mind went wild because he thought, first of all, the bull, something needs tying up. What's that? The devil, tie him up. And he started preaching and he rejoiced that Christ has indeed done that. He died. The Lord Jesus died to defeat the devil. to control the. And then he thought, not about the bull being a dairy, because you need a bull on a farm, really, but the bull needs to be controlled. And he thought, what needs to be controlled? Ah, the Bible says the tongue needs, it's useful, but it needs to be controlled. And he thought, as he preached, he thought, well, have I used my tongue in temper? Have I been unkind? I need to control it. Have I hurt others with my tongue? We just prayed, he thought, in the service, forgive us our trespasses as we do I forgive? It was quite a challenging sermon, he thought, that he got, thinking on his feet. But there was one final thing which more readily came to mind. And it was this. It was sow the big field. Clean out the ditches. Fill in the gaps. Tie up the bull. And the fourth thing that the replacement farmer had to do was to sow the big field. Tell others, he thought. Spread the word. Spread the word. We used to go door to door in evangelism. We used to have an open air meetings. Perhaps these are a thing of the past, I don't know. But it was the word. It was inviting. It was sow the big field. The big field is the world. Tell others. The world might be my neighbour, might be just the person who I work with, who I share the office desk with, a neighbour, a friend, a relation. You know, someone said, I've got these here actually, because I've been helping a friend of mine with, this was a little perk of the job, I got some apples, and he said, you know, you can count the number of seeds in an apple. But can you count the number of apples that are in a seed? You think about that. You know, I could cut this apple open and count one, two, I don't know how many seeds there are, but probably, I don't know, 12 seeds. But then if I take one of those seeds and plant it, and over the years it grows into a tree, and each year there's more apples, apples. You can count the number of seeds in an apple. But how many apples are there in one seed? And as we sow the big field, we might be just that one person we're talking to. Someone told John Wesley, someone told Billy Graham about the Lord Jesus. And Billy Graham and John Wesley went on to tell thousands, millions of the Lord Jesus. So the big field. Well, it wasn't the sermon the farmer expected. It wasn't the sermon that the congregation expected. And maybe this morning, this hasn't been the sermon you expected on harvest. But there it is. There it is. Clean out the ditches. Make sure that your communication with God and with one another. Fill in the gaps. Something missing in your life, a gap. Tie up the bull, control the devil, rejoice that Christ has died. And we the tongue, the farmer said, control the tongue. And so the big field, my life's work is telling others. Well, God bless you. Thank you for your attention this morning. And I pray that these stumbling, perhaps inadequate words might nonetheless be used for God's praise and glory. Amen.